Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 1147 of the Juice Box Podcast. On today's show, I'll be speaking with Melissa. She's 46 years old and she's had type 1 diabetes for 2 years. Today, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. Omnipod 5, learning how to take care of yourself, having to pay for your own C-peptide test, and some personal tragedies. While you're listening, please remember that nothing you hear on the Juice Box Podcast should be considered advice, medical or otherwise. Always consult a physician before making any changes to your healthcare plan or becoming bold with insulin. If you have type 1 diabetes or are the caregiver of someone with type 1, please go to t1dexchange.org/juicebox and complete the survey. When you do this, you'll be helping with diabetes research. You'll be helping the podcast, and you may be helping yourself. t1dexchange.org/juicebox. The T1D Exchange is looking for anyone who has type 1 diabetes or is the caregiver of someone with type 1, as long as they are a U.S. resident. It is particularly hard to get data from males and males of color, so if you fall into that category, please do go to t1dexchange.org/juicebox. If you're looking for community around type 1 diabetes, check out the Juice Box Podcast private Facebook group, Juice Box Podcast, Type 1 Diabetes. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by the Dexcom G7, made for all types of diabetes. Dexcom G7 can be used to manage type 1, type 2, and gestational diabetes. You're going to see the speed, direction, and number of your blood sugar right on your receiver or smartphone device. Dexcom.com/juicebox. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by Touched by Type 1, touchedbytype1.org, and find them on Facebook and Instagram. Touched by Type 1 is an organization dedicated to helping people living with type 1 diabetes, and they have so many different programs that are doing just that. Check them out at touchedbytype1.org.
Well, hi, Scott. My name is Melissa. I am type 1 diabetic. I just turned 46. I think we would refer to ourselves as LADA. So I was diagnosed when I was 44.
So was your onset very slow?
No, it was not.
I don't know that you're LADA. Like, to me, LADA is about the onset, the very like slow, methodical way that the pancreas just stops working very gently. But yours just kind of shut off?
It seems to have given its 2 weeks notice pretty quick.
I think you just have type 1 diabetes then.
That's what my endocrinologist, he just calls me type 1.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, so LADA is latent autoimmune diabetes in adults.
Right, that's correct.
But the latent is the part that we want to, hold on a second. I just don't want to talk wrong about it. And the last time Jenny made me say it out loud, I was pulling it so far out of my butt that I was like, I think I'm saying this right. Yeah, I that really is just about a very slow onset. I'm going to just say you have type 1 and we're going to be done with it.
We'll go with type 1.
Why not? Any other type 1 in your family?
I have no family history on mom or dad's side. The only person that has diabetes is type 2 was my grandmother. She was diagnosed in her 60s and managed it with diet and exercise for 15 odd years.
How about that? How about other autoimmune stuff in your family?
Not that I know of.
Do you have anything else? Thyroid, celiac, stuff like that?
Nope.
No. Okay. Nope. Well,
just the lucky type 1.
Just this little thing. Are you married? Do you have children?
I am widowed. I have 5 children.
Holy hell. 5?
Yes, I do. I have 5 children. I have them locked them in the basement right now. That's why it's so quiet.
Melissa, I'm going to say something. We're going to get off to a start where either you're going to love me or not love me. But is that what killed your husband or?
Well, it was me or it was the children. Or actually, he did pass of cancer.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's terrible.
Thank you.
Yeah. So then it wasn't you or the kids.
Luckily, no.
Not an unreasonable question, though, for 5. Even just the effort to make the 5 children and keep them alive.
Well, I'm pretty sure he had a good time. Me? It was a little rough.
Why was it rough for you?
5 pregnancies does a number on your body. Maybe that's what caused type 1.
You think so?
No, actually, I don't know. I wish we had a cause.
Yeah. Wow. How long has he been gone?
5 years.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's crazy. Were you guys similarly aged?
Yes, he was 1 year older than me.
Wow. How old are your kids?
My oldest is 19. I have 19, 18, 16, 14, and my little guy is 11.
Wow. How about that? Do you ever consider sending their blood work in for TrialNet or anything like that to see if they have any markers for type 1?
I have not yet acted upon it. I am much more concerned about the cancer through their father's side.
Would you tell me what kind of cancer it was?
It was colon cancer. And so his colonoscopy at the time wasn't indicated until 50. He was diagnosed at 37. They've now moved it to 45. So I just had my colonoscopy, came back nice and clear, but he was diagnosed at 37 with stage 4.
Wow. Oh, geez. All at once. What was that?
On our anniversary as well, I should add.
Oh my God. What are you trying to make me crazy? Jeez, Melissa. I'm going to cry in a second. My mom just died of cancer like a month and a half ago. Hold on a second.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm all right.
It's difficult. I'll give you a virtual tissue.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Wow. So he was so young. And he lived with it for a couple of years?
He fought hard. Yeah. He passed. He actually lasted 5 years. He fought very hard, very valiantly.
Oh, that's crazy. Do you get the feeling looking back, was he doing it because he thought it was going to work out, or was he just trying to hang around for you guys?
I think it was a little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, your youngest would have been like only a year or so old, right?
He was 12 months old at diagnosis.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. You are going to make me cry, Melissa. Okay. Wow. Does that kind of cancer run in your husband's side of the family?
No, there was no family history on his mom or dad's side.
Oh, geez. Does he have brothers and sisters?
He has one sister and one brother.
Are they very careful now?
Yes. I think we all are after that.
Yeah, I would think so too. All right, I'm going to try to shift this a second. I'll do my best here. You are in a very unique situation. So do you think about dating ever?
I'm currently in a relationship with my running shoes, and I have been for about 10 years.
Melissa, you have such a lovely voice. I don't know if you know that or not.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, and you said that. Seriously, are you doing voiceover work on the side, or what are you doing?
I wish. I'm just one of those pesky attorneys.
You're an attorney?
I am.
No kidding. What kind of law do you practice?
I do corporate law, and I also work for veterans, disabled veterans.
Very nice. Let's see. 5 kids, none of diabetes. Yours is late. You didn't expect it. I guess my big question is that... After what happens to your family, it's only a few years later that you get type 1. Is your first thought, this isn't fair?
Absolutely. Oh, 110%.
Yeah, I feel like that's what I would think too. How long did it take you to process all of that? Dexcom G7 offers an easier way to manage diabetes without finger sticks. It is a simple CGM system that delivers real-time glucose numbers to your smartphone, your smartwatch, and it effortlessly allows you to see your glucose levels and where they're headed. My daughter is wearing a Dexcom G7 right now, and I can't recommend it enough. Whether you have commercial insurance, Medicare coverage, or no CGM coverage at all, Dexcom can help you. Go to my link, dexcom.com/juicebox, and look for that button that says Get a Free Benefits Check. That'll get you going with Dexcom. When you're there, check out the Dexcom Clarity app or the follow. Did you know that people can follow your Dexcom? Up to 10 people can follow you. Right now, I'm following my daughter, but my wife is also following her. Her roommates at school are following her. So I guess Arden's being followed right now by 5 people who are concerned for her health and welfare. And you can do the same thing. School nurses, your neighbor, people in your family, everyone can have access to that information if you want them to have it. Or if you're an adult and you don't want anyone to know, you don't have to share with anybody. It's completely up to you. Dexcom.com/juicebox. Links in the show notes. Links at juiceboxpodcast.com. And when you use my link to learn about Dexcom, you're supporting the podcast.
Well, I was originally diagnosed as type 2. So when I was 44, they had diagnosed me as type 2. Kind of an interesting story. The insulin gods had nudged me a little bit. So I went onto Amazon, believe it or not, and I got a glucose meter. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have any symptoms, the sort of classic symptoms, going to the bathroom, you know, very frequently. I had actually gained a couple of pounds. So I just felt like something might have been off. So I bought a meter. My blood sugar was 531. So I make a visit to the doctor. He asked me the list of questions. I say no to everyone. And he said, your meter is incorrect. Here is a prescription for a meter. And so I get that meter. And sure enough, was roughly the same.
That I figured it out. It's the meter you bought.
That's right.
what an interesting.
I wish it were the meter. Unfortunately, it was not.
Was there some time after the doctor said that you thought, oh, I don't have diabetes. I just bought a junky meter.
Absolutely. And I so wished that was the case.
Okay. Oh, and then you find out that it's not the case. Did they start treating you like a type 2 initially?
They did. My A1C was 11. I was put on metformin and Jardiance, so a combination pill called Synjardy. So I took that daily. And he said, you can take a once weekly injection. And I thought, oh, no way. I will never inject myself. That is the scariest thing on the planet. Mm-hmm. And of course, here we are.
Yeah. Now you're doing it like it's nothing, I imagine.
Like it's going out of style. Yeah,
exactly. no kidding. I just had a thought. I don't usually do this at night, by the way. I'm a little thrown off by this. Oh. It's okay. I'm getting myself gathered. Okay. So the doctor sees you like that, type 2. Okay. Did you have any big illnesses or viruses prior to your diagnosis?
I didn't.
So they say sometimes that stressors can also be like kind of things. My assumption would be that you've been living with markers for type 1 diabetes most of your, if not all of your life. And I'm wondering if the passing of your husband wasn't so stressful that it didn't put your body in a unique situation.
It may have. It very well may have. That's something that I have thought of.
I mean, there's no way to know. It's just
right.
Yeah. You know, interesting to wonder about. Mm-hmm. So you have the quick onset. How long do they treat you like a type 2?
It was about 4 or so months. I bought every single book that I could get my hands on, thinking if I work hard enough, I could put this into remission. So I read a bunch. I actually ordered my own C-peptide and antibodies test, and that revealed that my C-peptide was terribly low, and I tested positive for the GAD antibodies.
You did that on your own?
I did.
Is that something, did the doctor fight you on it, or was it pretty harmonious when you asked?
It was a self-test that I purchased on my own.
Huh. How much are they?
It was a pretty penny. It was several hundred dollars out of pocket, but I wanted to know from all of the literature that I had read if I was indeed type 1.
Did you not think, well, I'm trying to figure out, why did you not go to the doctor and ask for that testing like through your insurance?
I had switched physicians at that point.
Mm-hmm. You didn't like the last one?
Did not like the last one.
Does the cancer battle teach you not to put up with bad doctors?
I think it teaches you to be a strong self-advocate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I often think that my mom stole a couple of years, and it's because, this is going to sound strange, but it's because I have all this experience raising a child with diabetes.
Right.
You know, because there was a moment where doctors told my mom, like, this is it. Like, you know, just get your affairs in order, a couple months, and it's going to be over. And I was the one who was like, no, we could figure this out. Like if we try hard enough, and we got a doctor to perform her surgery, which led to 2 more years. And, but the doctor we were at, and even the institution she was at, was not interested in helping her.
Right.
And so, yeah, I really believe in that strongly. Well, it'll serve you well moving forward, I think.
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. How are your kids?
Oh, they're doing just fine. I've got 2 in college, 2 in high school for this upcoming school year, and 1 in middle school.
Wow. Is it exhausting raising 5 children by yourself?
Oh, being mom and dad has me very tired, yes. And then I work full-time as well.
What did you find the slack that needed to be picked up? Like, what did you look at and say, this is an important thing my husband would have done. It needs to get done. I'm going to have to jump into unfamiliar territory here and do this thing.
Really showing up for myself, because kind of like the airplane analogy, you have to put on your own mask first and then save the littles. That is so incredibly important. And then ditch the mom guilt. That is so strong and so important. So if I don't take proper care of myself, especially now as the only living parent, my kids will have no one. And that's not acceptable.
How did you do that? How did you get rid of the guilt?
I don't know that I've gotten rid of it entirely, but finding moments of gratitude daily is really important and something that I cherish.
It really is a situation where you're owed your feelings as well. I'm assuming,
certainly.
Yeah. And I'm assuming you made five children with a person you really cared for. So, and it's such a, you probably really started, I'm so sorry. I feel like I'm bumming you out, but like,
no worries.
I mean, that really is just, it's still the beginning of your life at 37 years old, honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. That's a lot of kids at 37. You've been like, did you guys start early or go fast?
Yes, once
you
got going? Started in law school.
Really? Law school, yeah, not hard enough for you?
Yes. She's my Christmas break baby.
We've got to do something to get rid of all this tension. Why don't we make more tension?
See if we can. Well, they're cute and squishy, so what's four more?
How do you make it through law school with a baby? Like, that's interesting.
Just a day at a time, kind of like today.
Yeah. So you've kind of always operated this way.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you have like family help with the baby and everything? Do you guys get married? Oh, I have so many questions. Did you guys get married right away once you got pregnant? And what did you do?
We met in college, and so we got married a year and a half later, and then he went to law school, then I went to law school.
Wow. That's really something. Hey, Melissa, Mormon?
We're not Mormon, and we're not Catholic, but damn. I do get those quite often.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, they're obvious, generalizations to make. I like how you answer everything like an attorney. Do you know that about yourself?
Now I do.
Your questions are like, your answers are like, you pause, you think, you're direct. You don't say more than I ask, which is interesting. You're like, we don't want to put ourselves.
I know how many listeners you have. So
I see. I just always think of attorneys as people who are like, I don't say anything extra because extra stuff gets us in trouble. So we just keep it to what we're doing anyway.
That's right.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Stay on point.
I am also enamored by your voice, by the way. I definitely think you could be a mom in a sitcom or something like that.
Oh, thank you.
Right. Now you, you're like, thank you. I'm an attorney. I don't need to be in a sitcom.
Might be a little more fun, a little less stressful. Actually, I love what I do. I've only wanted to be an attorney, so I'm grateful that I get to do that.
Okay, good for you. That's excellent. You talked about having to be there for your kids, so I'm gonna try to piece together a little timeline here. Your husband passes. Your health is how at that point? Your mental health is probably shaky, but how is your physical health?
I was running a lot. So I was in pretty good shape. I still am hopefully in decent shape. I did a lot of rock climbing. I have yet to do outdoor rock climbing since being diagnosed. So mainly indoor rock climbing. So I've always been pretty athletic, and type one is definitely not slowing me down. If anything, it's helping me to get out there and sort of show the world that you can run a 50K or climb a mountain with type one.
I don't know the metric system, but 50K sounds far.
It's a little farther than a marathon, so it's not too terrible.
Well, to you. I jogged up the stairs to do this with you, and I was like, great, now I'm out of breath. Wow, that's something. So how are you managing right now? Are you on a pump? Do you use injections? What do you do?
I am now on, luckily, I love it, the Omnipod 5 and the Dexcom G6.
Nice. What did you start with?
I started on MDI with Traceba and Humalog.
And what were your needs? What is the question I want to ask you? I'm looking at your age. You're still, I'm so sorry. You're getting your period still is what I want to say. Right. So do you see fluctuations? Did you see fluctuations right away with hormones?
Well, it's interesting. I'm actually on an IUD. Once my husband was diagnosed with cancer, we put a stop to the baby making for obvious reasons. So I had an IUD. So the IUD that I have is the Mirena. And the Mirena means I don't get a period. So I don't actually get the monthly cyclical changes. So I believe that I'm actually perimenopausal at this point, just from some other types of symptoms but I have not noticed my insulin needs varying within the weeks of a given month.
Can you spell the name of the IUD?
It's Mirena, M-I-R-E-N-A.
Okay, so you don't see the fluctuations, but what are the things you're seeing that make you think you might be perimenopausal? Is it the temperature stuff?
Temperature. Oh, the temperature.
My wife takes something. Do you get the sweaties? The sweats?
Yes, I do.
All right, hold on. I'm going to text somebody in another part of my house and get you the name of something that stopped it for my wife. Hold on a second.
Oh, yes, please.
What? This is, by the way, sorry, Kelly. What? Stop. All right. I'll get the name back of that for you. Well, look at us. Old. Oh, my gosh. All right. So you're how long on MDI before you moved to Omnipod 5?
I was on MDI for about 6 months. It was grueling work. I maintained an A1C of 5.4. I counted my injections because I really wanted to figure out what I ate, how it affected my body, my running, my climbing, how that affected. So I kept meticulous records for about the first 6 months. So I was doing, in order to keep that line from shooting up or going too low, I was doing on average about 10 to 13 injections a day. Hmm. I had the Humalog Junior, so I was able to bolus in half unit increments. I have now a wonderful endocrinologist who writes me the best prescriptions ever. And after 6 months, I said, I think I'm ready to start pumping. And it was the best decision ever.
Did you take to it all very quickly? It sounds like you figured diabetes out.
I had done a lot of research. And in fact, when I was diagnosed as type 1, I did a search and it led me to one of your podcasts with a physician herself who was diagnosed as type 1. She was LADA as well. And that was such an encouraging episode to know that I wasn't alone because I didn't know anybody that was type 1. I do have one friend in person, two actually, that I can receive support from that are here in real life. But that was, I just recall, and I don't remember her name, but that was just the best episode ever. It gave me so much hope.
Wow, that's really something. I have to tell you that even though I understand that that happens, when somebody says it to me, it still takes me by surprise a little bit. It feels lovely that all worked out like that. But
absolutely, yeah. It was just a godsend. I wish I could remember her name or had some way to contact her just to say thank you.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's just assume that I invited her on, so thanking me is enough. Where do you want to figure out? So this stuff is over the counter. It's called Estroven. Estroven.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that. I have yet to try it.
Complete multi-symptom menopause relief. My wife says it made her stop sweating.
So, oh, I will try that out. Yep. Tell her thank you.
Oh, please. I will absolutely pass it on. She'd be thrilled if it helps somebody else. And by the way, if you don't have any thyroid stuff, so you probably wouldn't have listened to the thyroid episodes, but the doctor that was on to discuss thyroid stuff, Dr. Benito, is the one who told my wife about Estroven. So,
okay.
Yeah. Good luck with that. I think it's just like, I think you're probably grabbing it at Amazon, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Perfect.
Good luck. Let me know. By the way, seriously, if you stop sweating, send me an email.
I definitely will. You don't have to stop sweating. Yeah, exactly. I just hope you remember me.
Well, please don't give it any context because I just want to get an email like in 3 months that says I stopped sweating and see how long it takes me to go, what the hell is this about?
Right.
I really have the worst memory for things like this. I got a note today. Hold on a second. I wish I could get it up for you. So I'm now, I'm using an editor for the podcast now. So like you and I will talk, we'll do our whole thing. At the end of this episode, after you and I are done, I'll leave myself like a voice note, like Melissa and I talked about this and that and blah, blah, blah. And maybe think about naming the episode this. Like, that's pretty much it, right? And then I'll upload the file and someone else will go clean it up. Although I got to be honest, your microphone sounds so good that if we don't curse, I probably can save the money on this one. Anyway, it goes up to an editor and that person leaves some notes for me at the end. And the note I got today was something about reconstructive surgery on somebody's, I don't know. I'm sorry, Melissa, I'm not a doctor, but you know, their taint.
You just play one on TV.
Yeah, exactly. The part between their butt and their vagina. And all this stuff. And so, and he sent me a note and he goes, hey, you're going to want to listen to this and here and make sure you're okay and comfortable with this and this and this. And I was like, okay, I don't remember this at all. I said, I can't wait to put it on and remember what the hell you're talking about.
Anyway. It's like opening a Christmas gift twice. You forget the first time.
You know,
it's a double gift.
Oh my gosh, I swear to you. But I mean, honestly, though, with that setup, don't you think your brain would go, oh yeah, well, that's this. Not, I can't. I've just recorded too much. But you joked a minute ago about, I said I'm not a doctor, and I am certainly not. But I just got surgery on my foot. During the initial consultation with the doctor, we were having a conversation, and I started saying some things, and there's a pause. And he goes, hey, I'm sorry, are you a medical professional? And I said, I got embarrassed. And I said, I have a podcast.
That is under the medical category.
Yeah, so I said,
does that count for something?
He goes, well, what is the podcast about? I started telling him about it. And he said, oh, you're incredibly knowledgeable. And I said, oh, thanks. And like, we kind of let go of it. Like, it's not a thing that we kept talking about. But then weeks go by and then you get the surgery and then, you know, a little time goes by and you visit with the doctor. And I had to come see him because the dressing was just not holding up. And I called them and I was like, I can just rewrap this. And they were like, no, come in, we'll rewrap it. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I rewrapped it. But I kept the appointment. I think I just wanted to get out of the house for an hour. I was like, oh, I can still go somewhere. And so I kept the appointment. I walked in. He goes, that looks fine. I said, I rewrapped it. And he goes, oh, it makes sense. You are a doctor. And I was like, well.
Take matters into your own hands, quite literally.
He said, that podcast is really coming through for you. So he looks at my foot and he goes, you did a really nice job. And I said, all I did was wrap it with gauze and tape. I'm like, I don't know that there's a high ceiling here for this. You know what I mean? Anyway, it's ridiculous. Okay, so you move from MDI to Omnipod 5 after not a long time, but not a short time using MDI either. You were very diligent about your MDI. I mean, it's a lot of shooting to maintain a number, I guess. So during the MDI time, what was your A1C like?
It was 5.4. I kept a 5.4 A1C.
Oh, geez, Melissa.
It was a tremendous amount of work.
Yeah. No kidding. So you're making small bumps with injections when you see blood sugars rising, that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you have to. CGM at that point? Are you MDI with a CGM ever?
Yes. I went to my endocrinologist. He gave me the Libre. I preferred the Dexcom. It was just a little bit more accurate for my body. Mm-hmm. So I just actually got insurance coverage. I was paying out of pocket.
No kidding.
But it was well worth it.
Good for you. I like the way you attack this, for the lack of a better word. I enjoy your perspective and how you're like, I couldn't get an antibody test, so I bought one. I didn't like that, so I paid cash. Like, that's pretty cool. Okay, so now hold on a second. Let me go back a little bit. When you're managing that tightly with MDI, is that a thing you figured out on your own? Did you hear it through the podcast, read it in a book? Like, how did you decide to go after it like that?
It was a lot of being part of the Facebook group, the Juicebox Facebook group. There's a huge amount of support there. So that also being just a solid advocate, and then being, of course, my kid's only living parent, I felt like I didn't really have a choice but to maintain non-diabetic numbers, or at least really try, put in a solid effort.
Wow. I was going to ask you about that earlier, but I just decided to wait to see if it came up. The idea of, I got to stay alive, right?
Right. Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know another way to think about it. I think of it like that, and I didn't have anything happen like you had happen. So
it's really something to be faced with your own mortality, or to watch my husband pass. It brings a lot of things to the forefront. So it's important to be strong, to be healthy, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, just the whole gamut.
Yeah. I mean, and the five children, right? So.
And them too.
Yeah.
We'll throw them in.
Well, here's a question. If, let's say you just disappear, you float away like a balloon. We don't want to kill you in my scenario. We'll just let you float away. Did they all go to the same person? All the under 18? Like, who?
Oh, as an attorney, I have that under lock and key, and it is well thought out. Yes.
Yeah.
My husband was an attorney as well. So we had plans upon plans upon plans.
Wow. When you told me you had five kids, I knew you were both attorneys. Just you were guys who are like, I can afford this. Don't worry. everyone else gets it too and goes, we're in trouble. We got to stop. but do they go to, like, was that a thought? Like, I have to keep them together? Or was the thought, I need to put them where they fit best? Or how do you?
They'll all stay together. Yeah, they're all provided for. And luckily, I was able to get life insurance pre-type 1. So they're set. I worry about them killing me in my sleep more than I worry about me dying from type 1.
My son started an IRA the other day. I was very proud of him. He's just out of college. And he started talking to me about, you know, what am I going to do when I'm 50? I'm like, wow, okay, we'll talk about this. So we sat down and we talked, and I said, I think you could probably start by opening up a simple IRA somewhere and putting an amount of money in every month and having a goal for maybe buying a home or something like that, and then a more long-term goal. And so he was like handling all that. And I said, I want to give you the first bit of money to put in to get you started. And he was like, oh, great. And I told him the number, which, by the way, is not a lot of money, and it was just a reasonable amount of money to get him going. And we get on the phone that day, and he said, I got the whole thing set up. I got to sign the paperwork and everything. The guy's going to get it to me. And I was like, great, that's all great. And he goes, how much money did you say you were going to give me again? And I could see that he had a number in his head, but he didn't want to say it out loud in case he was lowballing it. Like, we were FaceTiming each other. And I watched him go, did you say, what did you say? And I was like, this is amazing. He's like, he's afraid he's going to say 5 and I said 6, you know what I mean? Or 1 and 2 or whatever. He doesn't want to screw himself out of it.
You got to read the room. You got to read dad.
It's just very funny. Anyway. Okay. So you're doing a 5-4 MDI, a lot of work, by a lot of work. You're injecting a lot. You're watching closely. What kind of, Jenny told me to say fueling plan, but it doesn't sound right to me. How do you eat, I guess? Like, what's the style of food you eat?
I love food. I will eat anything and everything. Okay. There's 2 things on this planet I won't eat. That's about it. I will eat anything and everything. I love eating. In fact, my endurance running allows me to really enjoy food. So I'm certainly glad that the type 1 hasn't stopped me from just eating.
Yeah. Hey, you know, people aren't going to be okay with it if I don't ask the 2 things you won't eat.
Oysters on the half shell and raw bell peppers. I just can't.
Oh, interesting. The oysters, yep. I'm with you. I can't. I can do mussels in a pinch, like if I had to.
if you were on a desert island talking to, you know, Wilson.
I mean, I've been in a bar and had a couple of mussels and gone, that's enough. I don't know, you know. Everyone else is going crazy. I'm like, I had 3. I'm good. Oysters, I can't do though. That's interesting. But 2 just things that, do you not like the way they feel in your mouth or the way they taste?
It's disgusting. It looks like a big pile of snot. I'm sorry. That's just is so gross to me.
What about the peppers though?
I don't know. They have such a strong flavor. Roasted, I can do, but I just can't do raw.
No kidding. Okay. So you eat an eclectic mix of food, it sounds like. And you're still managing that 5-4. So when you decide to go to a pump, is that a difficult decision to make because you're doing so well? Or did you just feel like you needed the break?
I felt like I needed the break. I knew in my gut that it was the right thing. And in fact, my insurance had denied it and my doctor appealed it. And when I got the letter, I just broke down. I was picking up my son from the bus stop and I started to cry. I showed him the letter. I knew that life was going to be so much easier, which it absolutely has. I wear a Garmin watch, and so I'm able to get my blood sugar on my watch. I'm able to bolus through my phone. I have an Android. It could not be easier. This is a great time to be a type 1 if you happen to have the unfortunate fortune to be a type 1.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Jenny and I were talking about the other day. We were recording something. I don't know when you'll hear it. I can't keep track of everything. We were just talking about that. Like, just, you know, you just go back 100 and some years, 100 and some years, and Melissa, you'd be gone. You know what I mean? Like, you would have got diabetes and you just would have ceased to exist. And then somebody comes up with insulin, and then, you know, that's a miracle. And you think, wow, how could it get better? And then it does. And then the insulin gets better, and then pumping, and then the continuous glucose monitors are just, they really are the rest of it, as far as I can tell right now. It's a hell of a leap. And I will tell you, if you even go back to when Arden was diagnosed, like when Arden was diagnosed, it was a meter and syringes. And that was it. That's what you got. So,
you know, that was just 20 years ago, right?
Not even. Let me do the math. She's 19. She was diagnosed when she was 2. Sounds like it was 17 years ago. Yeah. So, yeah. And, it's funny. I really don't even know. 2006, she was diagnosed. I really don't. It's not a thing I track. As a matter of fact, I think she was diagnosed in August, but I'm not even 100% sure of that. I really don't like, I don't know. I'm not that person on that stuff. But yeah, it's just, it's come so far so fast. And I mean, because the leaps that have happened in the last 10 years are really astonishing. Like, you know, really wonderful. The podcast, the Facebook group gave you all that stuff. Did you use that to transfer your knowledge to pumping? Did you lean on this again, or did you have it pretty solid by then?
I did. In fact, I listened to the pro tip for the Omnipod, and that helped so much to make sure that I had my settings appropriate, that I was able to bolus in at the appropriate time, pre-bolusing, all of that. Everything is encapsulated in those. I think it's 4 or 5 episodes. It's gold.
Oh, that's cool. The diabetes pro tip series for Omnipod 5 is 3 episodes long. And it is available at juiceboxpodcast.com/Omnipod 5, or it's in your player, et cetera, and so on. That was, I'm going to take a little bit of credit here. People listen for a long time are laughing. It's fine. You go ahead and laugh at me. I'm just going to take credit here. A number of years ago, when the idea of Omnipod 5, geez, back then they were going to call it Horizon. It was going to be called Omnipod Horizon. And it was in the very early stages, even nowhere near being, even sent to the FDA, years away from that happening. But the conversations are happening behind the scenes. We're working on this thing. Here's what it's going to be. And I started advocating back then between me and the person that I do business with at Omnipod. I was like, we have to make like a pro tip series to help people transition to an algorithm, because it's not a thing people understand generally. And when it goes wrong, when they have their settings wrong, or when they fight with the algorithm or something like that, it's going to go wrong and they're going to blame the pump. And not only is that going to be bad for you as the company, but it's going to be bad for them, because a number of them are going to, they're going to give up. They're going to think, oh, I tried the thing doesn't work. And that's not what we want. And I don't mean from a sales perspective, I mean from like a health perspective and, you know, an ease of use and all the other good things that come around. I mean, how much do you love sleeping now? You know,
it's beautiful. I love sleeping. I did my do with all of my kids waking up in the middle of the night.
You didn't want a sixth go around with diabetes?
No, not, thank you.
Not sleeping through
no,
the night.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I agree. But it's a different way of, it's a slightly different way of thinking. Not just Omnipod 5, by the way, but if you were going to use the Tandem Control IQ, or probably even the new Medtronic 780, you know, if you're going to loop, you know, if you're going to do it yourself loop, it's all just, it's a slightly different way of thinking about it. You don't want to be fighting it. You want to be working with it. You know,
right.
So that's very cool.
It's a beautiful thing. I love it.
Yeah. How do you make out? I mean, it sounds like you're incredibly active. So how do you manage your activity with Omnipod 5?
If it depends on the time that I exercise during the day. So as is common, tend to be a little bit more insulin resistant in the morning. So when I run fasted, I don't put it on activity mode, but any other time, like after 10, like today, I hit the gym during my lunch and I ran a couple of miles on the treadmill, I made sure to put in activity mode about an hour before to suspend the insulin. Mm-hmm. And I still actually ended up needing a little bit of sugar. So it's, I always carry sugar with me, always, 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 especially when I run backcountry.
Yeah.
And I, of course, have a little meter that I take, and I do take my Baqsimi as well.
I mean, that's excellent. Good for you. Like just being prepared. I just got done making a couple of short episodes with people telling their experiences of using glucagon. And, you know, the amount of people who are not prepared or didn't prior to it happening even understand why they needed to be prepared was interesting. And there's that episode from not long ago. What is it? The wife is telling the story of the husband going on a hike with their child. The husband gets low and starts to explain to his, I think his pretty young daughter, how to get back down the mountain they're on to find her grandfather and have him come back. And that while the husband was explaining this to the child, he believed he was explaining to his kid how to go find somebody to come back and find his body. Like, he thought he was, like, he thought he was really in trouble. And oh, then, no. And then he found berries that he took to help bring his blood sugar back up.
That is so scary.
Isn't that? Yeah.
Right. So scary.
Yeah. So if you're going to carry your glucagon, then, you know, you won't have to, you won't have to give your children a map to bring back the people who are going to drag your carcass back. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my kids would drive up in a Ferrari, but I have definitely briefed the kids on where everything is located in the house, in my purse, in my bathroom. I have the locations listed on my fridge just in case, step-by-step instructions. I've actually alerted my local police department and fire department, so I have a key so that they don't have to do forced entry in case I need to call 911. I've really thought about this because at some point I will be living alone. Mm-hmm. The kids will fly the coop. So I want to make sure that I give myself, I sort of stack the deck in my favor.
That's so smart. What was that like when you contacted like your local municipality?
I am lucky to know a couple of first responders. And so I asked them, what would be the situation if I called? I knew I was going low. I just needed emergency services, but I couldn't make it to the door. And they said two options, forced entry. And I thought, well, I'd like my door. And they said, second option is to have a lockbox with a key and then have kind of what realtors have when you do your open house and then have a code. And so you can let them know the code. So no problem there.
That's smart. Hey, the mm-hmm. joke earlier about the Ferrari, that was that your kids were going to spend the money from the life insurance.
Oh, the little stinkers, of course they would.
As soon as they heard of your passing and then come get you.
Exactly.
I was wondering what you were, I was like, I think this is what she's saying. Woo! I mean, sad.
If you can't laugh at it, you can't laugh at it. You got to be able to take life with a grain of salt sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. It does. I mean, listen, you've been offered, in my opinion, you've been offered two of the most significant perspectives that a person can have. I mean, the loss of a spouse at a younger age, and then your diagnosis, I think are two things that if you weren't already a person rich with perspective, I would imagine you leveled up about 1,000 times.
I would hope so. I think so. I really think, as I had mentioned earlier, that taking moments for yourself, doing, if you're the meditative type, to do some deep breathing or meditation, or just revel in those moments of gratitude. The other day I had my little guy and he brought me a flower. He goes on a walk with my oldest after dinner sometimes, and especially during summer break. And so he brought me back a flower and he said, "I love you, mommy." And so I put that flower and that's on my nightstand. And it's just those little moments. It's the last thing I see before bed. It's the first thing I see in the morning that keep me, I think, in a good headspace.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible that without that effort, you could have gone the wrong way?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Is it something that did you feel the draw of it and resist it? Or did you get ahead of the draw? Does that make sense?
It's something that you're faced with. I think when anybody is faced with any difficulty or any hardship in life, it's your choice. Everybody faces this, whether it's type one, it's a passing of a family member, it's a loss of a job, whatever it is, you are faced with a choice. How am I going to handle this? And I was faced with that choice. And instead of picking up something that was going to be detrimental to my health, I laced up my running shoes. I put on my climbing harness and I just went for it. Yeah. And so I run long and I run hard. I climb and that's kind of really what keeps me sane. It also helps with blood sugar a great deal as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're getting a double bonus there. You're beating up
beating
up the road and getting the exercise.
Oh, the best thing today is I didn't have to bolus for my lunch after my run. I got to be sort of a non-diabetic for one meal.
Oh, wow. That's cool. You said something earlier that I wanted to loop back to. That you can run in the morning fasted. I think that's something that you really learn with an algorithm. Because, you know, you're not going to be in that situation where your basal was too heavy overnight and you wake up and you get low or something like that. Right. If you don't eat. Like, I really... You don't have a ton of time with this, but, you know, when Arden was injecting or even when we were just using pumping you know, without an algorithm of any kind. There are times where you'd be like, well, I managed this overnight. I have a nice blood sugar overnight. But you wake up in the morning and then you don't want to eat right away. And hours go by and you end up getting low. Man, with an algorithm taking away basal and with it guessing that in the future you're going to get low and taking away, you really can go. I don't know how to tell people, like, Arden didn't eat today. Today's an example. She did not eat today until 5 in the afternoon. That's it. She went to bed really late at night, 3-4 o'clock in the morning. She got up at noon and then she went to go to lunch with her friend, but her friend wasn't available. So she just waited and then they went to dinner instead. And her blood sugar was super stable the entire day.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. So no active insulin on board and running's not the same as active insulin and running, even if that active insulin is only just like your normal basal, for example.
Absolutely. The ability to suspend insulin is one of the hallmarks of what makes a pump, I think, in my opinion, or at least for me, a little bit better than MDI, so that I can make those game day decisions to go bang out those, you know, few miles on my lunch break, because that's the only time I have, because I have to get up, take the kids here, there, school, work, whatnot. So that's the only time. And that's my sort of me time. And I'm able to fit that in. Of course, always have the sugar, but the ability to suspend is something that I think is unique to pumping.
Yeah. No, it's one of my favorite. I mean, honestly, people may have heard me say it in like the Pro Tip series, but being able to start and stop your basal is one of the first things that I thought of when we were at a pump class all those years ago for the first time. And because that feeling of like, I put the basal and it's in there now. If it's too much or too little, it's too late. Like, I already injected, you know, back then it was Levemir for Arden. But that idea, like, I remember standing at that pump class and saying to my wife, look, we could like temp the basal, like make it stronger or weaker. We could shut it off. I was like, I think this is like it was like mind numbing at the moment. I was like, well, that sounds like so much control that we don't have right now.
Absolutely. And it also means that you're not having to ingest extra fuel, extra calories, if you're on a weight management plan, which is important for a lot of people as well, to stay in that healthy range. I know with running, extra weight is extra pressure on your joints. So it's definitely something that I'm aware of and that matters.
Yeah. No, it's astonishing. It's just one of the most important things. I can't even say. So what, I'm sorry, we're 47 minutes into this, but are we getting to the things you wanted to come on for, or is there other stuff you wanted to talk about?
I just passed my year, my first year. Mm-hmm. So I'm in year two. I think if there's one thing that I wanted to say is that there's hope. This is not a death sentence. You can continue to exercise. You can eat the cupcake that you wanted to eat. It is not an end of life type of a situation where you have to do this, that, and the other. Of course, you have to check your blood sugar. You have to maintain good health, but you can live, and you can live quite successfully. So it's something that, given the current technology today, is something that is absolutely doable. You can thrive with this. I've seen it. I'm living it. And the listeners can as well.
Good for you. I appreciate that message, honestly. If I can loop back around a little bit, there's this thing that happens, Melissa, is that people say nice stuff to me. And then if you listen, you know, I get embarrassed and then I act like an idiot because I'm not good with it. And I say stupid stuff all the time. But there's this one thing I'm always afraid I'm not giving the right weight to. And it is that Facebook group. It's got so much value, but I can't bring myself to be the one to say it too much because I feel like it'll just sound like I'm trying to get people to join my Facebook group. If that makes sense. But I wondered if you wouldn't talk a little bit about, as a, like an adult, like a person who's just diagnosed, like how was that valuable to you?
It was actually a lot more valuable than I was thinking, because I was thinking this is probably comprised of a lot of parents, their children, their, you know, cute little babies. They're the ones with type one. So maybe this is more parent focused. But when I started becoming more active, there is a ton of adults in there that are just like me, that were not diagnosed when they were two. They're diagnosed in their 40s or their 30s or 20s, you know, 18 up. So there's a lot of support for adults. And then when I ran the LA Marathon this last year, I think I had something like 500 comments saying, you know, great job, and almost 2,000 thumbs up. I mean, it made me feel so warm and fuzzy and like I had just done something amazing.
Yeah.
The support is there. It's there.
Good. I'm glad to, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard for me to just say, you know, for those of you who wouldn't consider joining a Facebook group, there's a ton.
This is the one to join.
Yeah,
yes.
There's just a ton of value in it in ways that, I mean, you said you didn't expect. I didn't expect. Hey, I've tried saying it over and over again. I only made the Facebook group because people bothered me for it. And, you know, and it was, we needed a group where we can talk about the podcast. And I was like, my first thought was, oh, no. Like, I very much don't want to be involved in that. But then that kind of kept coming, you know, that pressure kept coming. I thought, oh, what'll it hurt? I'll open it up. And I don't know if anybody like now knows this, but I started that Facebook group. It had one rule. And the rule was, it said, don't be an or I'll close this whole thing. I don't need this problem. It was something.
That's funny. That's what I tell my kids. That's our family motto.
My wife and I, when we had kids, we really did settle on that as our goal. Like, we just don't want to raise kids who, like, when they're out and about, when they leave a social setting, that they're the ones that people go, what an,
exactly.
That was really the only like marching orders we gave ourselves. And we were pretty young in the beginning, although you were in college still. So you're pretty young too.
That's like the one thing that you learned in kindergarten that should stick with you forever.
Yeah. No kidding. Like, I just, anyway, that's that. If you've ever thought Scott's kids sound like they came out okay, that was really our marching orders. You're like, we just don't want that to be like, we'd make the joke about like keeping Arden off the pole. I think because Chris Rock's stand up was very popular around that time, and I think that was the joke that really like rang out of his stand up at the time. But I mean, we really like, between the two of us, that's what we said. We're like, just want them to be nice people, and we'll see.
Just good humans.
Yeah, and the rest should work. And so I started the Facebook group not wanting to be the person running a Facebook group. And now the joke's on me, of course, because there's over 40,000 people in there, and it's like part of my job. You know, like a reasonable amount of my day goes to making sure that place is somewhere you can go and have a reasonable conversation, you know, get other people's opinions without being treated poorly, and hopefully come out of it enriched somehow. You know.
And that's exactly what it was for me. I can't say enough good things about the podcast or the group. The amount of support that is needed, especially in that first year, can be astronomical, especially if you don't know anyone or you are just, you're blindsided by this. And all of a sudden you're on bolus and basal insulin overnight, like I was.
Yeah.
You have so many questions and you don't know where to turn.
Yeah.
You don't know what is credible information, what is not. You need real-time feedback from people. And because we're all located in different areas of really the globe, you're going to have a question answered in minutes.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Like in the middle of the night, it just like Europe just takes over for the Facebook group. or Australia or New Zealand, you know, people just pop in. And I'll never forget the first time that happened to me, that somebody was messaging me from like a South Pacific island, and it was like 3 a.m. and I picked my phone up, and I'm like, you know how some people message in long messages, and some people if I say this, it's going to make somebody upset that I correspond with every day. But some people text like 14-year-old girls, like one thought at a time, they send. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But this person was doing that. And so it was ding. And I got on. I was like, hey, this is so nice, but it's like 3:30 in the morning. I need you to like, just send your whole thought, please. And I'll answer you tomorrow. My wife's like, put your phone on, do not disturb. And I'm like, I can't, because Arden has diabetes and all. So, you know,
right.
Anyway, I don't know, it's a big sales pitch for it. It's probably what it sounds like to some people, but I swear it's the value. I've gotten value out of it. Like, even some of the things that you've heard on the podcast, like ideas about, I don't know, series, or like sometimes I see people talking and I think that we haven't covered that yet, or that obviously needs to be drilled down on more because look how many people bring this up, and it's just been really valuable. So anyway.
Absolutely. You. Especially just for plain old garden variety encouragement when you're having a terrible day or you've been on that roller coaster, you know that you're not alone. And I think that's the main thing that helped me is I wasn't alone when I felt so alone.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, so unfairly, I know what you look like because of all this. And earlier you said having babies was hard on your body, but let's be honest, you have the stomach of an 18-year-old girl. So what did you mean by that exactly?
I have big babies. My third was 10 and a half pounds. Oh, so geez. My smallest one, I think, was 8'3", and he was a month early. Mm-hmm. So it was rough.
All right.
And then of course they never sleep. And, I nursed them for the first year. So of course you're up every 2 hours. So I don't remember. There's a gap of about 10 years that it's all dark.
I don't remember
the 10 years of my life.
Just making babies and getting them bigger. Yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah,
it is really true, isn't it? That time is so, like, I don't know, fraught with things to do and decisions to make. And the only thing that even compares to it is when they get older and they have to start going places, and you just basically turn into an Uber driver for children.
Right. Yeah. That's me right now. Yeah.
I was going to say, you've probably hot on. Do your kids play sports?
I have a couple that do basketball. My son did play basketball. My other son, I have two girls and three boys, played baseball. So they've sort of kind of round robin all the different sports, tennis.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez. It's a lot. It's just a lot of running and being places. And how do you make decisions about where you park yourself and stay and where you're like drop and go and come back?
Well, it has become so much easier now that I have other drivers in the house, and I still have all five living with me. So I offer them free college tuition if they stay home and they can live here for free. I will pay for their college. And so it's really the only way that I'm going to be able to pay for five kids in college. So they do that. They live at home. So we really do a cost reduction that way. And they help out. My girls help out a whole lot with driving and picking up groceries, so on and so forth. So it does get easier in some ways. You just worry a little bit more because they're out doing God knows what sometimes.
I try not to think about what they're doing. I do. My only like proviso is I'm always like, if you want a cell phone and you want me to pay for it, I get to know where the phone is.
Right.
That's one of my things. I just like, I get to know where your phone is. I'm not tracking you. I'm not sitting here watching you constantly or anything like that. But if I get worried, I want to know where your phone. It comes in handy a little bit. I've talked about it before. Like I've seen Arden be low while she's at college, but before I've stepped in to say, hey, are you okay? I'll look at where she's at. And if she's in the dining hall, for example, I go, okay, she's taking care of this. And then that saves her from one of me pinging her about it, which I think is a big deal. But I like that. Also,
yeah,
I may or may not have once watched my son on a map drive to work one day. And I really missed him one morning. Oh. And I picked up my phone and I realized, oh, Cole must be on his way to work. I have like a widget on my phone, like a find my widget. And it seems to randomly show you one person or the other on the widget screen. And it was him. And I touched it and it opened up. And his like the picture I use for him in my contacts is him like, he's like 4 years old at a baseball game, like running, oh, like running to first base. So I watched little 4 year old him run through Atlanta for like 4 or 5 minutes while he was driving to work. And I thought, I'll never, ever tell him I did this.
Well, your secret's safe with me and 12 million other listeners.
Yeah, great. Great. Now everybody knows what I did that one morning. And meanwhile, there's no way these kids are ever listening. My assumption is, the only way my kids ever listen to this podcast is if I die and they get sad and they're like, oh, I want to hear my dad's voice because, oh, Melissa, let's bum each other out again. Did you keep voicemails?
Yes. Oh, yes. So, and videos and all of that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You have to have that for the kids.
So once my mom was diagnosed, I stopped deleting her voicemails. Mm-hmm. And I would even, this is morbid, I think, but sometimes she'd leave me a voicemail, but I knew I was going to call her right back. So I wouldn't listen to the voicemail. So I still have some I've never heard before. And I do go listen to them once in a while.
Yeah. I don't think there's any wrong way to grieve.
Yeah.
There's no timeline. There's no way. There's no map. It's just you go with sort of your heart. and your heart will always lead you toward healing.
Yeah. I get blindsided once in a while, but I feel a little grateful to be the age I am that my mom lived as long as she did too. Because it does feel, obviously it's not a spouse, but, I at least had the feeling that she lived a long life, which is something you don't get to think. But anyway, I once in a while I open up a voicemail I've never heard before and I listen to it. And it's, I don't know, it's comforting for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, Christ, now I'm going to make myself cry. God damn it, Melissa. And then I said, if I don't curse, there won't be any problems. So now I cursed. It basically cost me money to curse today because now I have to send this out for editing. And the guy who's editing it is hearing this right now and going, cha-ching. Right, Rob? Sorry. Well, if he wants his name.
Then I won't talk about my pole dancing class. It needs to be edited out either.
Well, wait a minute. We're at the end, Melissa.
Mom's the word on that.
Don't stop now. Okay, I'm going to circle back around to one of my earlier questions. Do you think you'll like date again?
To be determined. Right now, it is just really being here for my kids, and it's managing my diabetes and making sure that I can hit that LA with a better mileage time than I did last year. Mm-hmm. So that's, and obviously I want to just do great work too, especially for the disabled vets that I represent.
Yeah. The disabled vets thing, is that something you do through your, I don't know how to ask this question. Do you work for a company or are you?
It's a nonprofit law firm.
Wow. Oh, that's, you've been doing nonprofit your whole life?
I have here and there on a volunteer basis.
Okay. That's excellent. And so you work for a private company or you do something for yourself and then you do the work for the nonprofit as well?
Yes.
That's nice. That's a lovely use of your time.
It feels fantastic. Just when they look at you and they say, thank you, it means the world.
Yeah. I never thought, well, I guess I didn't wonder about it when I was younger, but helping people is really a large part of my life, which I mean, I guess if people are listening, they think, yeah, obviously, but it wasn't that obvious to me. So I didn't know, I started the blog I started my blog because I tried to raise money for the JDRF and it didn't go well. And the internet was just becoming a thing. I know that sounds weird. And I thought I could use this blogging thing maybe to tell more people about diabetes. And again, I know that sounds ridiculous, but in 2006, blogs weren't even a thing. People exactly knew what they were. It was all kind of new. And then that worked. And then there's that drive for what do I put on here? If I'm going to keep doing it, I have to keep doing things. And I went the route of sharing very raw, feelings. And after doing that for a while, I thought, well, that's nice. But I mean, I've got people's attention now, I should help them. And that's where that all started because I was not a person running around helping people prior to that. But it's been one of the most valuable parts of my adult life. And
certainly. Yeah. And it kind of gets you out of your own life. It allows you to connect with other people in a different way that you wouldn't ordinarily connect. That connection so important just to being a human. Yeah. We're meant for connection.
A million percent. I'm sorry, I cut you off. I didn't mean to.
Oh, yeah. And so that's it. It allows the feelings of, the good feelings, the good vibes to come, coursing through. So you just, everybody wins.
And if you're like me and you're a resolution oriented mind, you could hear it earlier, it's such a ridiculous thing. My mom got cancer and I was like, there's a way around this. I can't fix enough problems to properly make whatever's wrong with me feel better. Being able to help more people actually is more helpful for me.
Certainly.
Yeah,
it's a great way to help yourself is to help others.
Yeah,
I get that.
I used to say that the podcast helps me more than it helps you. You just don't realize it. So
right.
Yeah, I love watching. I can't tell you. It seems, I don't know. I'm not boasting, but I probably hear from a dozen people a day. In different ways: Instagram, Facebook, email. Some people who I've made the mistake in the past of texting. If any of you heard that, it's fine. We're all good. Don't worry about it. But a lot of people text me. I used to, before the podcast, I used to have conversations like the podcast is probably just the recording of conversations I used to have with people privately about diabetes. And so I hear from people a lot of different ways over and over again every day. And every time I see them have like a resolution or like an aha moment or something happens for them where their life gets better or easier or healthier or something like that, there's like a small part of me that just feels like, oh, I helped with that.
Oh, and, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So it helps me a lot. I didn't know this
absolutely.
Was yeah, going to go like this when we got on tonight, but thank you. Feel sad. Anyway, is there anything we haven't talked about that we should have?
I don't think so. I think we covered quite a bit.
We did okay.
I think we did fantastic.
Why did we move this so many times? Was it for work? I can't even remember. For you?
It was my work.
Yeah. I'm going to put a couple of night times on the calendar next year. I found this nice after I relaxed.
And I certainly hope there's no storms next time.
No. It was crazy. It was supposed to storm the entire time you and I were on, but it came a little earlier. It was really violent and it stopped just as you and I were getting started. So I was pretty excited.
Insulin gods are favoring tonight.
Finally. Thank you. All right. Well, Melissa, I appreciate you taking the time and doing this.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. Yeah. Can you hold for me for a minute?
Yep.
Great. A huge thanks to Touched by Type 1 for sponsoring this episode of the Juice Box Podcast. Check them out on their website, touchedbytype1.org, or on Facebook and Instagram. You can use the same continuous glucose monitor that Arden uses. All you have to do is go to dexcom.com/juicebox and get started today. That's right, the Dexcom G7 is sponsoring this episode of the Juice Box Podcast. The episode you just heard was professionally edited by Wrong Way Recording. WrongWayRecording.com. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, the Bold Beginnings series from the Juice Box Podcast is a terrific place to begin listening. In this series, Jenny Smith and I will go over the questions most often asked at the beginning of type 1. Jenny is a certified diabetes care and education specialist who is also a registered and licensed dietitian, and Jenny has had type 1 diabetes for 35 years. My name is Scott Benner, and I am the father of a child who has type 1 diabetes. Our daughter Arden was diagnosed in 2006 at the age of 2. I believe that at the core of diabetes management, understanding how insulin works and how food and other variables impact your system is of the utmost importance. The Bold Beginnings series will lead you down the path of understanding. The series is made up of 24 episodes, and it begins at episode 698 in your podcast or audio player. I'll list those episodes at the end of this. To listen, you can go to juiceboxpodcast.com, go up to the menu at the top, and choose Bold Beginnings. Or go into any audio app, like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and then find the episodes that correspond with the series. Those lists, again, are at Juicebox Podcast up in the menu, or if you're in the private Facebook group, in the featured tab. The private Facebook group has over 40,000 members. There are conversations happening right now and 24 hours a day that you would be incredibly interested in. So don't wait. Check out the Bold Beginnings series today and get started on your journey. Episode 698 defines the Bold Beginnings series. 702, honeymooning. 706, adult diagnosis. 711 and 712 go over diabetes terminologies. In episode 715, we talk about fear of insulin. In 719, the 15-15 rule. Episode 723, long-acting insulin. 727, target range, 731, food choices, 735, pre-bolus, 739, carbs, 743, stacking, 747, flexibility. In episode 751, we discuss school. In episode 755, exercise. 759, Guilt, Fears, Hope, and Expectations, in episode 763 of the Bold Beginnings series. We talk about community. 772, Journaling. 776, Technology and Medical Supplies. Episode 780, Treating Low Blood Glucose. Episode 784, Dealing with Insurance. 788, Talking to Your Family. And episode 805, Illness and Ketone Management. Check it out. It will change your life. If you're not already subscribed or following in your favorite audio app, please take the time now to do that. It really helps the show. And get those automatic downloads set up so you never miss an episode. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back very soon with another episode of the Juice Box Podcast.